Okay, so I'm Dove. I'm grateful to be here with you in recovery. This is not an SA call. This is a Guard Your Eyes call. I don't speak for SA in anything that I say, but I may get lucky and get accurate sometimes. Elohim, it's Elohim Mero. This is Simon Dambir Mermo. When Caroline FCC Dominic Kafala called to here. My God, please help me say things that are true and protect my me from making mistakes and saying things that are mistakes and misleading and or damaging to anybody. And protect me from any trouble that someone's gonna recognize my voice, figure out who I am, and God forbid be a nasty, arrogant, evil person. Which I can be also in my addiction if I want to, and get me in and harm me, Shalom. So Limkagalai Navshi Sidam Navshi Ki Afela Koti Hia Sakla Bibi Sara Sekhov Mitzvah Zekhov Zedef Navshi Vukhala Kamim Rachoshi Malai Lara Ameira Ferranta Samakal Kamal Shaftam. Spoil their ideas and keep me safe as you have till now. Thank you. And today's call is being recorded from this point on. You know, I just turned on the recording at about 12 after, and I invite anybody who still wants to. Do you have any requests for discussion today? I checked Week with Hiding too and didn't find any requests for today's discussion. So, anybody have any requests for today still? Okay. So, before the call started, before the recording section started, part of the session started, somebody mentioned that they'd like to hear about not just how do you get sober, but how do you stay sober. And I can share on that, even though I don't know the answer, obviously, because it was a gift for me, and it is a gift day by day. It's a reprieve. We get a daily reprieve depending on whether we maintain our spiritual, whether we do our part to maintain our spiritual condition. As the big book of AA says, and that's what Hashem does for Jews and Gentiles and everybody who wants it. At least, you know, it seems that that's the way it is. Maybe some who want it don't get it for some reason, for some good reason that God knows. I don't know. But those who get it because Hashem wills it. Like it says, who knows saying, lechem lechol basar, kili olam chasto. So you wonder, what does it mean? No saying, lechem lechol basar. Look at all the people who don't have lechem. What do you mean? He doesn't give bread to everybody. But obviously the point of the benching isn't that he gives bread to everybody. That's a fanciful thought. And it's a nice thought that, you know, he's so good, he gives bread to everyone, you know. No, saying, lechem lar avim, etc. But there's so many who are hungry who die, God forbid, of hunger, who are going to die today, rahman al-salman, of hunger. So then what about them? Your benching is a lie. Don't you know it? So of course it is. But what does it mean? It means, who knows saying lechem l'chol basar? He's the one who gives lechem l'chol basar. Whoever gets bread, he's the one who gives it to him. Kila olam chasto, right? Because his chesed is really forever. He doesn't have the present in mind, and that's it. You know, ba'asher husham, and that's it. You're a Rashi, you're going to be evil. Everything you do is horrible, and you're not doing tshuva or anything. And it's and you know, the tov for Rishayim is ra la olam, and even for them. So then, but he'll still be nice to you. No, it doesn't work that way. Kol mishein badei haaser l'rachim olam. If you have rachmonis when you're supposed to have achzarius, then you're going to be an achzar when you're supposed to be merachim. No, no, no. He's not going to give that person bread for whatever reason that he judges is good and right because he's God. So, who knows saying lechem chol basar? He is the one who gives the bread to everyone who gets bread. They don't get the bread themselves. They don't give themselves bread. We don't make money. He gives us money. We work, and the parnosa comes through God. That's, you know, even for Gentiles, it comes through God, right? Everybody knows that. It comes through God. It might be Nislabish and a Malach, that's the Sar Shel the Uma, and they get it B'derech Klali, but still, we believe that there's Hashgacha Pratius, and that when the Malbim and the Alshef and others who say that only the Tzaddik has Hashgacha Pratius, what they mean is that the Tzaddik is the only one who has Hashgacha Pratius that he can recognize. And that's the school of being a Tzaddik. That's Haskel the Adoa Osi. To be successful in Ish Maskil, the Adoa Osi, and to know it, to know me, in other words, to be aware of me, to be aware of the Hashgacha Pratius that's making you successful, that's the Madrega of a Tzaddik. Hashem, that the Nevi'im and everybody says, oh, don't take away your Hashgacha from me, Hashem, blah, blah, blah. It means don't make it a Hester for me. That's even though we're doing tshuva, I'm going to be mastir. Look in the parsha, that's what it says. So there are different mefarshim on it, but basically the idea is that even though there's a hashgacha, for one reason or another, Hashem is mastir the hashgacha. And the hastir means that the hashgacha is mustar, and not only that, but the fact that it's mustar is mustar. You can't even know that it is hidden, and that's the worst. So, but really, there's Hashgacha Pratius, period, because he's the only show in town. God's the only show in town. That's the reality. So anyhow, who knows Saint Lechem Ochel Basar? He's the one that keeps me sober, really, that gives me sobriety. But what's the sobriety all about? Someone asks, so persons want to know, how do you stay sober, not just get sober? So it's a great question because even on a beginner level for non-SA people, for people who are just considering recovery or on this call or on GYE because they're considering recovery or thinking about, you know, oh, I've got to stop forever. That's not recovery. That's egotistical being, you know, whatever, you know, being known as being no. Do you love the porn? Do you love the masturbation? Do you love the things that you're doing? Do you love it? No, I hate it. Betachlis, hasina, sinesim, da-da-da-da-da. No. If you really did, you wouldn't be going to it. You'd be disgusted from it, like you're disgusted from a large pile of excrement, which you don't return to over and over again because it's disgusting to you. Oh, yes. You love it. That's why you keep doing it over and over. Now, a person who's only nichshol once in a blue moon, that's called the Yetzer Hara. That's not an addict, okay? So I'm not saying that every guy who eventually looks at schmutz and eventually, you know, every 6 months to 10 months, a year, you know, he succumbs and he to his Yetzer Hara, which is the Yetzer Hara. It's not addiction. That's the Yetzer Hara. It exists. It's true. Chazal are true. They're real. They're correct. It's the Yetzer Hara. It's not addiction for most people. I'm not talking about a person like that. I'm talking about a person who is doing this stuff and living a double life. Doesn't mean that that the FBI should be after you because you're raping people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that it's something that's frequent, that has timidias, it has progression, you're hiding it because it's tzniyus, because you need to be tzanua about it in order to protect it, which is what tzniyus is in divrei mitzvah. It's to hide it to some degree or enough to protect it, to keep it protected, so that it doesn't turn into an ego thing. Same thing over here. We protect it. If you're an addict, then you protect your stuff in order that your access to it isn't jeopardized. That's why you don't tell your spouse. That's why you're not honest with it, other people who are safe. I'm not talking about clapping on the bima and shul. I'm talking about being honest with other people in order to stay, you know, who are safe. People to talk to about it, like any other addict, true addict in recovery, understands that they need to be secretive, it's called anonymous, with outside people about the inside thing that you discuss with them. So those are safe people. Clapping on the bima and shul will do you no good. Nura b'beis Amram! That's not going to do you any good if you're an addict. None. Amram wasn't an addict. Rebbe Amram. So, if you're an addict, so then screaming Nur B'Beis Amram is not going to help you, because everyone's going to come and you'll be held up for derision. And yeah, it'll yes, it's an act of some sacrifice, and it is an act of gevura that, you know, there are redeeming qualities to doing that, but it's not wise. It won't help you in the long run. And preventing yourself from sinning that one time is not kedai. What's kedai is getting the real help you need. That's clear. So, excuse me for just a second. Okay, I'm in privacy again. So, we need to be private. We need to be we need to be private. Yeah, that's clear. We need to be private. But those people who are private, who are safe, that you can open up to, if we're not going to open up to them, then it's not because of all the fears that we're going to get in trouble and this and that and divorce and here and there. That's not the motivator. Those are motivators. But the main motivator, the one that's insurmountable motivator, after the shame and everything else is becomes surmountable for one reason or another, the insurmountable motivator for this tznius is to protect my access to it. I need to protect my access to it. If I'm found out, I'm probably not going to be able to have access to this stuff that it's so precious to me. So if there's progression, protection, you know, tolerance is protection is tolerance, where you tolerate more, so you need a little bit more. And you need to take a little bigger risk. You're willing to be moser nefesh a little more by taking a bigger risk, spending a little more, doing it, you know, at work when you could get fired. That's maserus nefesh. You're spending money, you're spending stress, you're spending effort to get this thing because it's so precious to you. If you see that this is happening, you know, and you can't stop yourself successfully, you keep giving in over and over. Not every time, maybe. I've had incredible acts of gevura in my acting out where I resisted the temptation and passed the test and then only to be far worse later on, you know. So it was osa isha, osa makam, osa taiva, osa this, and osa that, and I was an oimed. So I'm about Shuva Gemura now. No, it's a lie. A stupid, stupid lie. That's not about Shuva Gemura. About Shuva Gemura is someone who turns their back on it and lives without it in such peace that the temptation doesn't overcome him one day, you know, that he gets it later. Not a person who's acting out, and one time he was goyver. That's not about Shuva Gemura. That's not about Shuva anything. That's nothing. It's mamish nothing. So I need the long-term stuff. I need the schaira. Give me the real schaira. The porn and everything, that's schaira, but that's not the schaira I need. I need serenity. I need freedom. That's the schaira. The freedom comes. Hi, good morning. The freedom comes from not withstanding the nisayan. That's not where you get freedom. The freedom comes from letting it go. Sincerely and truly, being at peace without it is where the freedom comes. That's the schaira. And the questioner is asking, how do you get that? That's a good question. How do you keep sobriety? You know what I mean? So we know that it's one day at a time. And I can talk about one day at a time over here. I haven't done that. But I'm afraid to change topics because that's a huge topic. I want to talk about it just for a second, But you see, the framework of guard your eyes, and most people who come into recovery from a religious background, and guard your eyes isn't recovery. Guard your eyes is an educational and referral website. It's not a recovery fellowship, as far as I know, at least here. I mean, my connection to it and the people I know in it, that's not guard your eyes. Doesn't have 12 steps and 12 traditions or any real steps and any real traditions or anything. It's just a bunch of great guys and gals sharing, you know, recovery with each other, and I think that's great. It's not a recovery program, really. There's suggestions made, you know, and whatever, but there's no cohesive thing going on here, really, which I think is a good thing. You know, I think it should be educational and referral, and, you know, and it works. Like, I know hundreds of people who, because of that, they're okay now, thank God, one day at a time, and their families are saved. Not because they stayed on Guard Your Eyes, but because they left Guard Your Eyes and got the help they really needed. But But that having been said, the people generally, in guard your eyes, the general thrust of guard your eyes is to prevent sinning, not to have freedom, but to prevent sinning. If you're on the wall of honor, you've got 90 days, it's a great accomplishment. If you've got a year, it's a greater accomplishment. Guard your eyes sends you an email that says you're bringing Mashiach closer, your mamash at tzaddik, Hashem holds you greater than tzaddikim, because b'mokom shebali tshuva omdim ein tzaddikim gemurim mecholam la'amod. And I have a very close, great chassidish friend who's sober now for, thank God, a long time, who got one of those emails, and he had to call me. He said, my God, Dov, this is making me crazy. I hate it. It's disgusting. I hate it. It makes me feel like I'm going to act out again, because it's pulling me. That email from Guard Your Eyes, in my case, he said to me, in his case, is pulling me back to that sicko way of thinking that if I make it through today, then I'm bringing Mashiach closer. I have to, the guilt and the ego, the religious ego, where it's false, it's a trick. It's hiding my giant ego behind, you know, a frock, a religious frock, a religious, you know, excuse. It's so damaging to me, he said. I feel it's jeopardizing my sobriety. I said, I just laughed, and I said, you know, that's not unusual. That's because you're self-honest. So it's bothering you. Just send them an email that says you love them. They helped you tremendously. They saved your life by getting you into recovery. But they need to stop sending you these emails. That's all. Just unsubscribe. You know, and he has, and he's active in helping people on Guard Your Eyes and stuff, but he doesn't get these emails, I don't think, anymore. He's a great guy, very active in Guard Your Eyes, and he loves it, but, you know, for the good parts and for all the good that it accomplishes, of course, not for the other stuff. But since Guard Your Eyes is Yiddishkeit in general, except for the people who think that they're in the Derech HaMusar and Hasidus doing the deep inside job, which many people think that they are, but they're really not, is focused primarily on the counting, the days, the counting. Another day, another day, another day. You're a success story because you've been so clean, qualified clean on Guard Your Eyes rules for 2.5 years. No, 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 no. You're a success story. You know what I'm saying? So in 12 steps, that's not a success, because we have such a thing as a dry drunk. Even though we celebrate God's goodness by having anniversaries, that every year you make an anniversary celebration, even though we do that, but we know that that's just encouragement. And my sponsor used to say to me at every anniversary, Jeff would say to me, so I would say, you know, when you get near a real anniversary, you know that you feel kind of like nervous. It's a little bit of a riskier time than normal. It is. And if you have that experience, you know it, because it is. And you know what I'm talking about if you have anniversaries, I'm sure. So on this one, I can speak for you. So if you get up to your year, it's like, yeah, you can pretend you're flying high, but you know you're in a bigger danger. People usually lose their sobriety more often around anniversaries, just like guys lose their sobriety and act out much more around Aseres Yemei Tshuva and, you know, the Yom Tovim and et cetera, et cetera. There's much more pressure because it's a milestone of some kind. So the ego turns on, and it's harder to live the lie of I'm doing this because it's the right thing and I love it and it's good for me and on and on. It's like, whoa, the pressure kind of takes the edge off of all that sweet ego, and now it's for its own sake, and it just becomes too hard, becomes very hard. There are other issues with Bein Hazman and being home, which I'd love to talk about sometime. But people, maybe I'll remember another time. But since the emphasis is on not sinning, and the success is defined by not sinning and staying clean, you know, not acting out, I'll say, you know, that's the success. So the problem is that the whole frame of reference is weakened. You know, whereas if you look at the 12 steps, how many of the 12 steps discuss sobriety? Any suggestions? How many of the steps discuss sobriety and how to resist, you know, the temptation to drink alcohol, for example? There are 12 steps in the 12-step program, right? That's why it's called the 12-step program. So how many discuss that? And the answer is none. Not a single one. None of these steps even talk about sobriety. Not a single step talks about sobriety. The only step that even mentions alcohol at all, or lust, in the case of like SA's program, which, you know, I don't speak for SA, but you know, I am a member, thank God, and this is a GYE call, not an SA call, how, you know, it doesn't talk about how to, it just mentions the problem exists, you know. I'm powerless over lust, I'm powerless over alcohol, and my life has become unmanageable by me, you know. You know, and I've explained what I mean by powerless, you know, and that gets into this discussion too, which complicates matters for many, many people. And keeping it simple is so important, and yet it complicates things because they misunderstand what powerless means. And they think that powerless means I'm powerless to withstand the temptation. And that's not what powerless means. Powerless doesn't mean I'm powerless to withstand the temptation to drink. Powerless, as I've kept on defining and saying over and over and over, powerless means that other people have power over alcohol. They may feel like they need to drink it because they really want it badly, but they can control and enjoy it. Like everybody controls, who I know, controls and enjoys many, many things in life. You know? I can't seem to control and enjoy it. I end up hating it. After, of course, after I'm doing it, I end up hating it, and sometimes a little bit during too, and yet I feel drawn to it again and again and again. And I hurt myself with it, through it. I hurt myself. I put my life at risk, my marriage at risk, my job at risk. I sat outside of a bagel store about a year ago. I think it was this last summer, or maybe two summers ago, with a sweet from guy who got fired from his second job because of porn. Second job in a row fired from because of porn use. How do you do that? I once sponsored a guy, or worked with a guy. I don't know if we were officially sponsoring each other, a guy who worked for the Navy, okay, who got fired from four jobs in the Navy, or three. This was his fourth. He was all for looking at pornography. these are the people in our government. But anyway, so it's like, you know, wow. You know, how do you do that? You know, how do you keep doing that over and over and over? You know, well, I've only been fired once. Well, give it time, buddy. You know, give it time. You know, let's see. Let's see. You think you've hit bottom? Let's see. If you've hit bottom, you won't act out. You know, you're going to get the help that you need. You know, let's see. If you just hang on, that's not hitting bottom. Hitting bottom, you know, in that case just means protecting yourself because you're afraid more and you're going to try it harder not to get caught doing it. And not doing it helps you not get caught, but that's it. Freedom is a whole other story. That's freedom from lust. In SA and in AA and in the other 12-step addiction fellowships, the entire purpose of sobriety is that it's a hechatimtza for freedom. Sobriety is not the goal. The goal is freedom from the compulsion to drink, from the sickness that drinking gives us as alcoholics, from the compulsion to misuse sex and my mind in a lustful way, you know, lust, the compulsion to misuse the sexuality that God has given me, just like everything else. God made heroin do certain things, you know, in the human body. Okay, it's good as a pain medicine. It's not good as a recreational drug. It screws a person up. Even as a medication, it screws a person up. Makes you pretty constipated. But you know, Hashem created it. It serves a purpose. You know, but if you misuse it, it becomes an addiction, and it screws us up. So, freedom in sobriety is the goal of sobriety. The success of sobriety is only really measurable in how much serenity you and I have. So you want long-term sobriety, stop looking for long-term sobriety. seek serenity. Seek serenity. Surrender. Get, you know, learn how to surrender your temptations and your fantasies and your needs for this stuff. And you will find sobriety in the long term. That's the focus. And that's what I have been trying and working on for my whole time in recovery. I haven't been trying to make it to the next week just because that's a good purpose. I've been trying to make it in early sobriety. I'm trying to make it to the next week sober, trying to make it to the next day sober, trying to make it to the next hour sober, because it will help me be free of it.
So
I need to be free of it. That piece is the only prize in this whole thing. If I'm free of it, then all the goodies follow. Go ahead.
And I've been meaning to ask this question from someone for a very long time, and it's exactly what you're touching on. Why does the program teach progress, not perfection? Why can't it be that we should be perfect for today, or for an hour, for two hours, whatever the case may be? Why is it progress, not perfection? I mean, Baruch Hashem, B'yayin Hara, you've done it one day at a time for many years, and you're experienced, and you've been through the program, and you see that it really is break it down into simple one day at a time things. Why can't just the progress, not perfection? Like, it gnaws at me, I guess, because I'm a perfectionist.
Right. Perfectionism is a beautiful, beautiful midah to have. Chuck C., one of the great speakers of AA, one of the great AA speakers, Chuck C., if you ever get his talks, a new pair of glasses, six talks that he gave in the 70s or something, late 70s, maybe. It's called A New Pair of Glasses. Great talks. There's some things you got to filter in, I think, talk number two or something, or talk number three, but they're very useful. He explains as a Christian how he reinterprets his religious verses that used to drive him crazy, how he interprets them, and now these days he's found the proper meaning in them so that they don't drive him crazy anymore. And obviously Jews need to do the same thing, because the Torah drives us crazy. As I've spoken about many, many times, it doesn't help us if you're an addict. It makes us worse. So, which is what the Gra says, right? The Gra says this beferish, that's what Torah does. It will make you better or worse. It's water. You have weeds planted, it'll make your weeds worse. You have vegetables planted, it'll make your vegetables better. That's why Torah is called water. It doesn't fix you. It depends on the hakshara. It's not just the Torah. It's the hakshara that really makes it work. But that having been said, the Chuck C. says that perfectionism is a beautiful, beautiful character trait. When you learn how to use it properly, you have to learn how to use perfectionism, and it will help you move to greatness in lots of things and be very effective as God's, tool in the world because of your perfectionism. Don't turn your back on your perfectionism, please. So you got to learn how to use it. But the point you're bringing out is fabulous. What does it mean, progress, not perfection? So we have a sobriety definition, okay? Alcoholics Anonymous came up with this progress, not perfection thing, and they have a simple sobriety definition. Don't drink alcohol, Can you fantasize about alcohol? Yes. Can you walk into a bar and buy a beer and swirl it around in your, liquor and swirl it around in your glass and stuff and smell it and then cry because you want to drink it and you know you can't, and then walk out of the bar and after you leave it on the table for somebody else to enjoy who isn't an alcoholic and who can enjoy and drink like a gentleman and a normal person? Are you still sober? Yes. Are you crazy? Yes. Are you serene? No. Are you in recovery? Are you? I don't know. That's kind of rough. That's progress, not perfection. We have a sobriety definition. in SA, we have an essay. I don't, again, this is not an essay call. I don't speak for SA. I'm just reporting from the field as an SA. And there are other fellowships. But in SA, we have a simple sobriety definition. No sex with yourself, which is masturbation. That's sex with yourself. If you're masturbating, that means you're having sex with yourself. And no sex with yourself or anyone other than your spouse. And, of course, it includes progressive victory over lust if you work a program. But there's a simple sobriety definition. And progress, not perfection, just like in AA. How do you have progress, not perfection, in AA? Let's just talk about AA for a second. If you're in AA, okay, and if there's no alcohol, you haven't drunk alcohol for 16 years, do you still say progress, not perfection? Or is that now a moot point? Progress, schmogress. You know? You don't pay attention to that because there is perfection because you're sober. There's no alcohol. In AA, it's perfection. You're sober. There's no alcohol. You haven't touched a drop of alcohol to your lips, not even cough medicine, which is 40% alcohol. Nothing for 40 years. You've done it. Da-da-da-da, you know? And it's like, that's perfection. Where's the progress, not perfection? Why do the alcoholics still say progress, not perfection? Are they saying you drink a little? It's talking about the guy who's not sober yet. He only drinks once a week now. Then he drinks once a month. Then he drinks once a year. That's progress, not perfection. Wrong. That's not what they mean at all by progress, not perfection. When it comes to sobriety, there's no such thing except perfection. There's no such thing. If you're going to be sober, you have to have a clear sobriety definition, and you got to stay sober. If you don't stay sober, you don't have to slit your throat. You don't have to jump out a window, but you're not sober. You got to start your first step over again. If you act out by whatever sobriety definition you choose, that means that's your bottom line. You need perfection in that. Absolute perfection. Now, if you as a perfectionist, me as a perfectionist, if I reinterpret my clear bottom line sobriety definition in my mind without saying it, if I redefine it and I say, well, I know the things that brought me to drinking were hanging out with these guys or with these gals or doing this or doing that. And or raging and anger, because half the time when I went off and acted out or drank or whatever, I got into a big fight with my wife, and I stormed out of the house and ended up in a bar. So I see that raging and resenting lead me to drinking. They always did. They always will. And here I raged and resented, and I'm obviously in danger of drinking, but that's not the point. I'm back to the drinker that I was before. Even if I don't drink, I'm the same guy. You know, that means I violated my sobriety. No, it didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't violate your sobriety. You're sick. You didn't violate your sobriety. You have a sobriety definition, no alcohol. As long as you stick with the sobriety definition and perfectly, stay clean, perfectly, one day at a time, you will be forced to recover. If you keep the sobriety definition, even if it kills you, even if it's usser, you keep the sobriety definition. Even if it's halachically usser, it's usser to be mevatel afilu a mitzvah derabanan, and it's Pesach, and there's nothing but wine, no grape juice, and you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, it's usser to use Chomer Medina, and whatever it is, and this and that, and it's, and you're not, you push it, not going to be Yotzei D'Avokosis this year. All you have is wine. Give out. What are you going to do? It's usher. Like, you have to. And you're an alcoholic. And you say, no, afal pichein. I'm not going to drink. You know? You know, there's some background noise. Somebody thinks that their phone is muted, but they're not, I think. So just for the benefit of the call, however, or for your own privacy, either way you look at it, you can maybe fix that up, please. Thank you, Chava. Whoever you are. So thank you. So I lost my train of thought a little bit. I'm sorry. the sobriety definition has to be simple and clear, a simple, clear bottom line, and it needs to be adhered to perfectly. If you stick to that bottom line and you stay clean no matter what, no matter what, it's called Yehareg V'al Yavor for an addict. If you see, and I can refer you to many poskim, you know, I can refer you to poskim who will explain this to you, Al Pi Halacha. Now, if you're not an addict, don't bother me with this ridiculous, useless question. If you're not an addict and you just have an axe to grind, you're upset that, what do you mean? Halacha has to come first. The whole purpose of everything is keeping the halacha, blah, 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 blah. So then, okay, aside from the fact that you're the same guy, if you're an addict, you're the same guy who's, I had a guy who I was on the phone with, a guard your eyes guy, who convinced his wife to perform sex acts on him that she did not like. And she convinced him that she, as she was taught in Beis Yaakov, it's Das Yehudis, she has to give him sex on the night that she comes from the mikveh, okay? And she has to check herself to make herself be shayach to mikveh. She can't be mavatul, it's not right, and this. And that since the only sex that he likes is a specific sex act that she found demeaning and upsetting, still she has to at least do it once a month because that's her sexual obligation. And she went to a rav, and the rav agreed. A real rav. The rav agreed. So when the rav said this, the wife burst into tears. What happened? Is the rav just a big fat jerk? Is that what's going on? No. The rav never was told the full shaila of what's going on in that bedroom and what's going on with her life and with him and how sick he is and how sick their marriage is and how hurt she is and damaged she is and how confused she is and how she's such a fool because she's allowing this man to manipulate her into doing something that she's not comfortable with, which she will never have an obligation to be put in that state. Nobody does, not a man, not a woman. So there's blame all around. Enough blame to go around. But halacha will be used the other way. So, okay. So coming back to the thing. So if I'm losing my train of thought. I'm so sorry. So what was it that I was saying? I'm so sorry. So this, we were talking about the sobriety definition. We're talking about the sobriety definition, and if you, oh my, I'm so sorry, I just can't remember. Anybody here able to help me out? Let me try to backtrack a little bit, okay? I'm sorry. So the guy is, so I was mentioning a guy who will use halakha to, you know, the other way, so, because, you know, you're supposed to, and this and that. Anyhow, I don't know, maybe I'll get back to the point. I'm sorry, I was in the middle of something. But anyhow, the guy who's the question that we started off with is the sobriety definition has to be clear and simple, and it obviously has to be perfect. The progress, not perfection, isn't going on the sobriety, because without the sobriety you have nothing. It's going on the recovery, okay? And if you keep this to your sobriety definition, to a real sensible sobriety definition, whether you like it or not, doesn't make it sensible. I hear this a lot on Guard Your Eyes. Well, I'm not comfortable with that. I find this condescending and disgusting that you're saying this. Just because you're not comfortable with it doesn't mean that it's bad for you. Reb Noach would say happiness, the opposite of pain is, you know, the comfort. It's comfort, and then the opposite of real success is just doing what's comfortable for me, even though it's bad for me. It's comfort isn't a proper. Well, I'm not comfortable with that idea, and I need you to respect that. Okay, I respect it very much, but you're not going to get better if you don't do what you need to do. Do I know what you need to do? Not necessarily. I don't tell people exactly what they need to do, but I'm suggesting something. If you find it revolting and terrible, then how can I suggest that? That's your problem, not mine. So anyhow, So a guy who keeps the sobriety definition will have to get better, will have to recover, not just stay sober. If you have perfection in your sobriety definition, you will recover. And this is the shita of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish's shita is that the Chazon Ish's derech was against the Musar derech and against Chassidish derech. He was the straight old line of, if you keep the mitzvahs and you do the Torah, you learn the Torah and you do the Torah and this, you will automatically, and this, by the way, is the shita of the Briskers as well, that you will, I'd rather you learn Sifra Yira, but you don't spend hours laying in a grave or minutes laying in a grave to get your mamisa in you. You don't walk into stores that sell chicken and ask for nails to make it so that you don't care eventually by practicing it what people think of you. You don't do these things. You don't make takanas that end up having totsaos that aren't necessarily so perfect and stuff. Because that's all whatever. That's not the derech according to the Chazon Ish's shita. Because the Chazon Ish's derech is you keep the halacha and that will fix you if you're committed. Because when you're committed to keeping halacha, if you're really committed to keeping halacha properly, you will not lie because you won't be able to lie. So you will end up becoming, by practice, becoming an honest person. Wanting to be honest isn't being an honest person. Being honest is being an honest person, and that only comes from practicing it. So if you make up your mind you're not going to lie, then you will become an honest person by practicing honesty when you don't want to, when you're ashamed. You will learn the midah of humility by making your will subservient to the will of others, God or other people, if it's in a situation where Hashem wants you to be subservient to the will of other people. Like Tzvi Meyer talks about being a shmata in the proper way. So you, by keeping the simple basic halacha, there's no one around, and the only piece of stuff is a candy that's not kosher or that might not be kosher, and you don't eat it. And if you don't eat it, you are changing inside yourself. You are learning the midah by practice, the midah of commitment. You are learning by practice inside yourself the character traits that are very, very precious of commitment, of honesty, whatever. Lots of different things. So this is the Chazon Ish's derech. That's the derech of recovery. It's not the Moshe derech, it's not the Hasidish derech. It's this simple derech. Keep the sobriety definition, come hell or high water, keep your sobriety definition to death. Keep your sobriety definition, period. And you will have to grow. You will be forced because the pain will become so great that you will have to start using these 12 tools. Well, the first step is sobriety. The first step is not how to get sobriety, but just that I need sobriety. I have no choice. Okay, I have no choice. I can't continue this game. That's the first step. How to do it? It doesn't say anywhere. If you have a higher power, he'll do it for you. It doesn't explain anything. The third step doesn't explain anything. The fourth step isn't about lust. It's about resentment, and fear and stuff. That's not, that doesn't relate directly to your drinking, acting out, etc. It's very indirect. It's the long-term solution of how to get a third step, not just getting rid of rid. rid. That's not the main point. The point isn't rid. The point is my character defect. If I'm freed of my character defects, then I can be plugged into God and have a third step, which is serenity and acceptance and, peace in life. Because I know I'm okay because there's a God in the world and I'm good, That doesn't mean that I start ignoring all the problems that I have. It means that I start facing the problems that I have because I'm not afraid anymore. So I can face my problems. I can go to therapy if I need therapy because I have an issue and I don't have to sweep it under the rug. I can face my problems. Recovery gives a person the power to face life, all true faith does that. That's Derech Eretz, Kodma LaTorah. So So a person who has a clear sobriety definition and keeps it to perfection, which, you know, that means that he stays sober and doesn't drink. Keeping the sobriety definition to perfection, I might have made up in my mind, this is what I think what I was saying before, I might have made up in my mind, oh, but if I were perfectly sober, then I wouldn't even be tempted. Oh, if I were perfectly sober, then I wouldn't turn my eyes and look at her again. Oh, yeah, I'm not keeping the sobriety definition. No, you are. You are keeping the sobriety definition. But guess what? Guess what? You're making it harder for yourself. It's stupid. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? You're still playing with it. That means your commitment to sobriety is really becoming a game. You're not going to stay sober very long acting that way and doing those things. You're just not going to succeed with sobriety very long if you're walking into a bar and sniffing the alcohol purposely. It's just not going to work. Do you have to run away every time you smell a smell of alcohol? No, that's called being a nuthead. But purposely looking for it, purposely turning my head to see it again, purposely, you know, thinking about it knowingly. When I think and realize I'm fantasizing, I surrender it immediately. As soon as I realize that I'm fantasizing, I surrender it. I don't sit around and go, oh no, I fantasized for a second. That ruins my blah, 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 blah. No, I didn't purposely fantasize. You know? And if you purposely fantasize and then you surrender it when you realize, oh, this is really bad for me, so, and then you surrender it and you get help to surrender it if necessary, and you pray for the person that you're lusting after if necessary, and you do all the steps, whatever, that you might need to do if necessary, and you become free of it, then you didn't do... That's recovery in action. That's recovery in action. The progress is there. The perfection is only in the sobriety definition, and that's why we have a sobriety definition. We have a sobriety definition to enable you, if you stay sober, it will enable you to get serenity. It will enable you to recover. That's the purpose of a sobriety definition. Whereas in religion, the purpose is, you know, not to sin. It in and of itself serves a purpose. You know, with us addicts, it doesn't really serve a purpose. It should be celebrated in and of itself, absolutely. But it doesn't serve a purpose in and of itself. You know, it's a hefetimtza to get freedom from lust. And if every time you let go of your, you know, you, if every time you're challenged and tempted, and instead of surrendering it, you fight it and win, you're not getting any better. You're not getting any better. Because part of you inside, no matter how happy you are because of the great victory and the mitzvah and da-da-da-da-da, it's very unlikely that that joy is going to be so great that it's going to that joy is going to be so great that you're really going to be happy that you didn't act out and take advantage of that sweet, delicious opportunity. There's probably still a part in you that's angry that you couldn't get that sweet thing, because all you're doing is resisting. You're not getting free. Getting free, on the other hand, doesn't give me such an ego hit, because I didn't overcome, I didn't deserve, I didn't overcome, I didn't fight, I didn't win. So there's not as much of an ego trip and the ego satisfaction, which may motivate you in a positive way, but that stuff's gone. It's not there. On the other hand, though, there's more surrender. There's more peace. And that's what I'm after, is peace. You know? That's peace. You know? Yitzchak Avinu was at peace. You know, the Sfasema says, why was Yitzchak called Yitzchak? It doesn't make any sense. He's the Baal HaGevura. He's the Baal HaDin. You know, he's the child of Sarah. Yitzchak was Ben Lasara Ishtecha. That was Ben Lasara. Yitzchak was the Midas HaGevura, like Sarah was, to counterbalance Avraham, the Sfasema says. So Yitzchak is the midas gevura. Pachad Yitzchak, you know, my father, Yitzchak was all about the midah of gevura, gevura, gevura. That's why Avraham Avinu tied him up at the Akedah, because he was the left arm, and that's the tefillin. The right hand is Avraham, the left arm is Yitzchak, Kedeged Yitzchak, and the right hand, the right hand, the chesed, ties up the gevura, ties up the din, the gevura, and restrains it for the purposes of chesed. That's doing what Hashem does. That's the Akedah, and that's what Yitzchak's all about. Restrained and fixed, you know, properly aligned gevura. That's Yitzchak, not just gevura. Properly aligned gevura. The Akedah defined him properly. You know, that's Yitzchak right there. That's Yitzfilin Shalyad, you know. But the, because you know, the tefillin is done by the right hand, ties it on. That's the mitzvah is done by you know, chesed. So anyhow, so then you know, what's the, you know, that's what's happening over here. You know, are you getting the point that I'm trying to make here? I hope. I wish so much that it wasn't, this call wasn't being recorded, because then there could be back and forth, and you know, it would really help me a lot, and I think it would help the people too. So I think we're going to stop recording this call. I don't know, but anyhow, if you really really want to talk, just call me, email me at wequithiding2, and we'll just talk. You know, wherever you are. So anyhow. So the perfection, the progress, not perfection, is in the thing. The peace is really the ikar of it. The hechatimsa is, sobriety is the hechatimsa for recovery and peace. You know, being at peace without it. The Sfas Emes explains by Yitzchak, then, if he's the midah of Gvura, why is he called Yitzchak? It doesn't make any sense. Yitzchak is like a laughing person, you know? He brings about laughter, you know? Yitzchakli, he'll bring about laughter. The Sfas Emes says it's such an inappropriate name for him. Avraham, Avraham on Goyim, Yaakov is because, you know, however that Pasuk in Bereishis goes, that Yitzhara will get your Akev, and Yaakov is the Satan against Esav. He's, you know, he's the fighter against Esav, so to speak. So that's against the Yaakov. That's against the Akev of the snake, of which is the Esav, which is the, you know, the Yitzhara, and that's, you know, that's what Yaakov is. And okay, so, you know, so, but what's with Yitzchak? You know, it's such an inappropriate name if he's the Pachad Yitzchak and the Baal HaGevura and everything. So the Sfas Emes says, because, and he writes this very beautifully. He says, I bet if you would have met Yitzchak, you would have seen nothing but the happiest guy you ever met in your life. The most pleasant, happy guy with a beautiful, happy look on his face all the time. Smiling, happy, just at complete and total peace. Why? Because he's not afraid, because he's got nothing to be afraid of. He's not afraid of the Yetzirah, because because he doesn't have any sayin from the Yetzirah. He's not afraid of the Yetzirah, because, not because he's so strong, but because he's got nothing on his mind but God. You know? He's filled with pachad elokim. He's filled with pachad of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not that he's walking around shaking, but he's got a complete and beautiful awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Midas HaYira, and therefore he's got nothing to be afraid of. So he's always calm and happy. And that's what the Sfas Emes says is the reason that Yitzchak is called Yitzchak. Because that's what happens to a person who has Yiras Shemayim, and Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam in Sefer HaMaspik talks about this too, regarding Ahava. The person only has Ahavas Hashem instead of Ahavas, you know, other things, then, you know, then he doesn't have Tivus and stuff. It works the same way here. If you're filled with Mora and Pachad of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the proper way, the proper high Yira, not Yiras HaOnesh. Oh my God, look out, God's coming, watch out! You never know what he's going to do you. He might, if you do wrong, he'll kill your children. He'll kill you. He'll, he, you, oi, oi. That's the wrong, that's not Yiras Shamayim. That's Yiras Onesh. That's the Onesh. I'm afraid of the dog that the man's got. I'm afraid of the stick that he's wielding. I'm not afraid of the man. I'm not afraid of the owner of the dog. You know? So, Yiras Shamayim is an awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam that leads a person to complete freedom. And this is what the Maggid says in the Toldos, that which is something that I quoted, I think, in the first talk that I, Baruch Hashem, gave here. In the Toldos, Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak, Yaakov Yosef of Polonoi writes that the Maggid said that people think Yiras Shamayim means being afraid of God, and they couldn't be more wrong. You shouldn't be afraid of God. Being afraid of God means that he's the enemy. That's what it means. Being afraid of God means that you go like, oh no, look out, watch out, he's coming. You never know what he's going to do. For God's sake, I mean, he's God. You don't know what standards he's. You're going to see him. You're going to die. Look out. Basically means that you think he's a jerk. You know, you're afraid of him. Okay, that's twisted. The Maggid says that's twisted. That's not what it's supposed to be. Yitzchak wasn't afraid of God, and he wasn't afraid of the Yetzer Hara, and he wasn't afraid of this, and he wasn't afraid of that. He didn't walk around in fear. So in general, you know, when he was at the top of his game, at least, you know. So that's kind of what's going on. That's why, you know, and that feeds back into the Derech of the Chazon Ish that I was talking about before, and the perfection in the sobriety definition only, where we do have perfection. In AA, it is said, the only step you can do perfectly is your first step, because your first step is sobriety. Your first step is the only step that refers to the drug and says, I cannot drink like a gentleman, and therefore I need abstinence. I cannot drink at all. It's an act of humility and acceptance, hachna'a, to the truth, not to God, to the truth, hachna'a, to the truth. If I machnia myself to the truth, then I will have peace. I will be able to stay sober if I do my first step perfectly. And that's the only step that in AA they say you can do perfectly, the first step. That's sobriety. You can stay sober. Can you recover perfectly? No way. None of us will leave this world recovering perfectly. None of us will leave this world certainly having a full third step. None of us will leave this world. We'll get to the point, I'm sure, of fully having, turning our will and our lives over to God's into God's care. I'm not even talking about keeping Torah mitzvahs properly. That's way past the third step, way past. None of us will come to that level. That's for certain. If that bothers you, why do you say that though? Why do you? So then, let me know. We'll talk it over. It's important to understand why. Oh, that's such a bad thing to say. Of course, we're going to come. Some of us will. How can you say no? No, none of us are going to be like Yitzchak. Masai yagiu maisa lemaisa avosai. The Hasidim say yagiu, to reach, to touch, not to equal. It's not going to equal. Not happening. Kind of like the Sfasemes Taitz is also beautiful, so beautifully. It says, Al Todin es chavercha chetamod bimkomo, you know? And he says, Velo tamod, you know? You won't stand in his place. He knows, you won't. Some people are so empathetic, they understand, da 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 da. Look, in an SA meeting, an AA meeting, we understand each other. But no, you're still not really bimkomo. So, don't fool you. Don't kid yourself. you can't really tadin es chavercha. Period. It's not talking about bezdin, about whether he owes you money or something like that. That's a whole other story. That way, of course, you can be tadin. The din you can be tadin, but you can't judge the goodness or badness of your fellow. That you're not able to. You know, the Mishnah says and the Sfasema says, al tadin es chavercha chetavim mekomo velo tamod, he adds. You know, you won't stand in his place. So in the same way, I'm saying you won't get to a real third step. You know, you won't get there. All the steps are all revolving around the third step, as I shared in the previous calls. They all revolve around the third step, and you're never going to get there, but you're going to get closer and closer and closer to it, more and more accurately, you know, inculcating the third step in your life, you know, in my life. You will, if you work these steps, you will. And maybe there are many other things that a person can do that are other than these steps that can bring them to that. I don't know. But that's what this is saying, that if you work these steps, you'll progress. Perfection, you won't get. Okay? But sobriety, you can have complete perfection in your sobriety of the strict sobriety definition. No alcohol passing your lips. You know? No sex with self or anyone other than the spouse. If you don't progressively victory over lust, kind of, if you don't have that, if you don't progress in your freedom from lust, so then there's something wrong going on. You're not using the steps of the program. And I'll finish with this. The reason that there are the 12 steps after is because many of us have said, I'm going to stop, and we never stayed stopped. Stopping, we're very good at. It's like a guy says, I'm an expert at marriage, because there's a little background noise, Clover, whoever you are. The guy says, I'm an expert at marriage. I've been married 6 times. Let me give you a lot of advice about marriage. I don't want advice from a guy who's been married 6 times. Why? Maybe he's a very good expert at marriage. He has actually, been married 6 times, so he probably knows all the mistakes. No. How do I know that he's not on 6 going on 7 now? Maybe by the time he's married his 17th time, he'll be finally a true expert on marriage and what to do and what not to do, because now he's got it right. But if he hasn't learned from his mistakes yet, how do I know? I've been married so many times, I should know. I don't trust him at all, because he might only be halfway up the hill, you know? So, you know, perfection in, you know, we want to stop, but we don't stay stopped, because if we're addicts, we don't work the steps. We just try to stop. And you do your guard your eyes wall of honor, and you do your toxic shore, and you donate your money to guard your eyes, and everybody's happy. But guess what? You're still acting out. Now, if you're lusting, all people lust. Hello? You know, addicts lust too, you know, but I'm sober. And since I'm sober and I can't cross a certain line, I will be forced, if I'm going to stay sober, I will be forced to work these steps, because the pain inside me will distance me from God and accepting his will in my life. And it will become eventually impossible for me to stay sober. And therefore, the steps are here. And there are other tools as well out there, I'm sure, besides the steps. If you can employ those, and you do, which will all require real action, not reading books and finishing, making a CM 14 times in Shari Kedusha and the Sfas Emes and the Rambam and the Tanya and the Reish HaChokhma and the Shluha Kodesh and, you know, whatever, the Divrei Chaim HaKodesh and, you know, the Nefesh HaChaim, and all this over and over again. I'm going to learn Shar Dalet 15 times in the Nefesh HaChaim, and Mesilas Yesharim. It's not going to save you. You got to take actions of recovery. This is what the Baal Musar discovered. And the Chazon Ish holds the same way. It's not through learning Torah. Ha'omer Ein Li Torah, Afilu Torah Ein Lo. It's from keeping the mitzvahs. The Chazon Ish expresses this very clearly. It's from the action of not stealing when you're tempted to that you change. Because the Torah says so, keeping the Torah in action is the only thing that changes a person. You know? And the learning feeds into that. It becomes part of that. But only if he puts it into action. You know? So, I'm just going to end with a little vertel, and then I'm going to close, because it's almost 20 after. I'm going to end with a little vertel. Why is it that we need that if somebody touches their shoe with their hand, you know, they need to wash their hands, or scratches their scalp, skin, not your hair, but your scalp, you got to wash your hands before you continue learning Torah, you know? But if somebody rubs their forearm against their scalp, you don't have to, you know, stop learning. Or if you rub your elbow on your shoe, you don't have to stop learning. Only if your fingers touch it. You have to stop learning. Or if somebody else takes their shoes and rubs them all over the back of your head or your back, rubs his shoe on your shoulder, you don't have to stop learning. You don't have to go wash your hands, or wash your shoulder, rather. You know? Why is that? What's with the fingers? What's with the fingertips? What's with the fingers? So the inyan is, I believe, that your fingers are a symbol of your yad, meaning your ability, your action. You know, le'el yadi, if I had the strength to my hand, I would do da-da-da. Yadi means to do. Yad is to do. You know? Sculptures, when they make a sculpture that has big hands, and they want to show that this guy accomplished a lot. This is the hand is doing. And that's why there's, 14 bones in each hand. It's called a yad. If you don't count the bones of the palm, you just do the fingers, the five fingers. If you count them up, they have 14 bones each. Two hands, that's koach, strength. So it's your hands are what does things. Olamasiya, doing, maisa, accomplishment is your hands. If you're learning Torah and your hands get dirty, that means that your hands are not mukhsharim to do maisa. They're dirty. They're not mukhshar to do maisa now, in some respect. And if you're learning Torah, the purpose of Torah has to be for maisa. If it's not for the purposes of putting it into la maisa, it ain't Torah. Torah isn't theory. That's why when you learn karbanis, it's as if you bring a korban, because Hashem is mitzarif maisa, which in this case is the yearning to do the korban, the Shlosh says. It's the yearning to do it and the sadness that I can't. That makes it into doing a korban, because that's the only maisa you can do beyond just reading about it. But just reading about it is not mekayem this thing of a thing. You have to look in the Shlosh on it, you'll see. But anyhow, so when you do a maisa, then you're accomplishing what's written. That's halacha aliba dehilchasa, learning Torah aliba dehilchasa. That's the ikar of the simple pshat in Torah. Learning Torah, not even lishma, just learning Torah, is to do. If you're learning it not to do it, just to learn about it with intention that, to do it, it doesn't matter to me. That's not the point, Then that's not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And not only that, but it's wrong to do. Because it's separating the machshava from the maisa, the purpose from the success in the world, which is a period between, Zayin Nukve, between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh, between, Hashem and Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, which is the kiyum of Hashem's will in the world, is through us. So there's a separation there because my learning is not for maisa. So if your hands get dirty and your hands are not muksharim for maisa, then you need to stop learning until you wash them. You're not allowed to be learning. You're not allowed to be, certainly not to be maitzi dover mitiv like that without a little water on the hands or rubbing them on something, midi demanki or something, So because you need to have hands that are muksharim if you're going to be learning, because learning and maisa have to go together. But rubbing shoes all over your elbows, doesn't hurt. Getting mud on your head doesn't make you have to wash your hands, because your head isn't where you do things. Your elbow isn't where you do things. It's your hands. So, action and thought, are the action is what's necessary. Otherwise, the thought is a waste. Really, really, really a waste. All right. Hatzlacha, and if anybody wants to, the call's Monday through Thursday, one day at a time, Monday through Thursday, there's no call tomorrow or Sunday, and they're recorded only after 10 minutes mark passes. I'm sorry that I go late, but I do, and the email address, if you have questions and you want to elaborate or discuss any of the points that I brought up or any of the other people. We had, I think, three people sharing today on the call before the recording part and one person during the recording part. There is a total of three. So if you want to comment on anything they said or I said, please just email me at weakwithhiding2, weqhiding, wequithiding, and then the number 2@gmail.com. And I thank you very much. I wish you hatzlacha and have a good day.